Now you know, Caddy, Regina George is not your friend. We're your friends, and we're gonna make her pay. You know what friends do? They got your back, and they are fun to be around.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
When someone hurts you, then they attack and grind your foe into the ground.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Move into Halloween.
So she decides, I also noticed at this point, he like tells her about the costumes and people getting really into it. So she ditches Mathletes to go home and work on her costume. And this is the beginning of Caddy like blowing off school and not like caring about her responsibilities because she wants to like be popular and make this boy like her.
Right. So we learned the hardcore girls wear lingerie and some sort of animal ears. And that's when we see Regina like posing and her mom taking the photos and the poor father. The mom is just like,
I really liked Gretchen's costume. It looked really similar to a costume I wore in my 20s when I was Lara Croft.
Ooh.
And I
this
really
is also a cinematic parallel from Regina and her mom like doing the photo shoot to Chris and Kim Kardashian doing the
amazing, sweetie.
That's another parallel I'm going to have to put on Instagram.
And this is, it's so amazing that this is pre-Kardashian because of how many Kardashian parallels that ultimately Ariana Grande capitalized off of, but we
And Caddy, like, bless her heart, makes this full-out, like, zombie bride.
Okay, costume. I don't get it. That's such a nuanced joke for, like, a 16-year-old. Like, the
ex-wife. When she says it's an ex-wife, that's exactly what I said. You know, her mom was like, be an ex-wife.
Right? Like, I don't know how you would, like, get that joke at 16. You know what I mean?
No, I could totally see a dorky high school girl, like, because I was friends with some of them. So I could see one or two of them being like, this is clever.
But if she's, like, too dumb to, like, understand, like, most basic social cues, like, reference.
Side note, I would just mention it in my notes because I love it so much. In the musical, I warned you guys I was going to talk about it a lot. This is Karen's big number, and it's called Sexy. And I can be who I want to be in Sexy. And she goes through, like, all these different, like, sexy things that you can be. And, like, some of them are, like, really goofy and, like, really funny. She's, like, a sexy Rosa Parks at one point. She says, I can be a sexy doctor and cure some sexy cancer. Like, she does, like, all this stuff. And then she says, one of my favorite lines of the whole show, she goes, this is modern feminism talking. I intend to run the world in shoes I cannot walk in.
Ooh.
Snap. I love it. I love it so much.
Also, that's kind of funny because I've always joked about wanting to be a sexy Doc McStuffins for Halloween.
You can do that.
I don't know why. Just because I love the idea of like an absurd sexy costume, but not anything weird. Like how people do like sexy SpongeBob doesn't really make sense to me, but sexy Doc McStuffins makes
sense. Oh my God, that's so
I don't know why that specifically came to mind, but I don't know why.
It's taking the sexy nurse up a notch too.
Right, and well, it's sexy doctor. Black women in STEM, black girls in STEM.
All of the Doc McStuffins props if you ever decide to go forward.
Oh my God.
We have her little doctor case with her little puppy inside. We have the costume. I don't know if it would fit you, but we do have all of these.
That's the point, though, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to fit.
We do all the doc stuff, so keep me posted because that's hilarious.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, I really want to see that now.
So we see them at the party and Karen and Gretchen are talking and Karen goes, you know, who's looking fine tonight? Shane Omen. And Gretchen goes, he's your cousin.
Wait, it's not Shane. It's not Shane Omen.
It's Shane. Who was it? Oh, Seth, right?
Seth. Yeah.
Seth, no, I always get something.
Too, so yes.
You know, who's looking fine tonight? Seth Mosikowski. He is your cousin. What? He's a good kisser.
But he's my first cousin. And Gretchen's like, yeah. No, but you have your cousins and then your first cousins. Honestly, I find all of that very confusing too.
So here's the thing. My family has like, I have a very large family, so it's an easy way to keep track of it. So it's easier to demonstrate on paper, but it's like, think about like the rows down from you as like first, second, third. Like, so if your mother's first cousin's kids are your second cousins. Your mother's cousin is your first cousin once removed. Because if you have to do a diagonal line between them, think about that like removed, like slashed out. It's much easier to illustrate.
See,
I can draw it for you.
Draw for the Instagram. Do an example.
Visual aid, yes.
I'm glad you used that specific example because I'm very close to my dad's cousin's kids. We like happen to grow up in the same town.
So we're
like,
your second cousin.
With them last weekend. We're still very close. And every now and then we'll be like, we're second? Cousins, like I just call them my cousins, but we're always like,
yes,
because what are her kids to me? Are they my second cousin once removed?
Second cousins once removed, yes.
Mine gets more confusing because my parents met because my mom's sister married my dad's cousin. So those cousins are also first and second cousins. And I guess my uncle is also my first cousin once removed.
Yikes.
Yes.
That's not yikes.
I was going to make that reference, but I didn't.
Cousin.
I'm my own grandpa.
Yeah. And it's funny because so my mom was one of four girls. And at one point there was a third sister who was dating another one of the cousins.
I don't know if you watch Real Housewives in New Jersey, but that's a Manzo mess.
It does seem like a Manzo type of thing because they had so many freaking kids. Well, my dad had literally like over 30 first cousins. He's Irish. He's over 30.
I've got that too on my dad's side. Well, not that my dad was
just a ton of cousins.
But just we have, yeah, one of my dad's brothers has like 16 kids.
Boy.
Several women. It's like a whole thing. But yeah, no, there's a lot of us. But most of my cousins who are my age are my second cousins, I think. Right? Yeah. Either way, I'll draw a visual aid for the gram.
Okay. But, yeah. I just refer to my cousins' kids as my nieces and nephews because we see them enough to like do that.
It's easier.
Yeah.
Also, to complain very quickly about this scene, just super male-gazy, there's just a random shot of two teen girls making out.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's really? Like so much of this movie. Yeah, there's so much of this
movie. I never noticed.
Like, despite the fact that this is marketed at women, is still so, like, this is how you know there's, like, a dude directing it.
Yeah.
that scene is so unnecessary of, like, I mean, sure, did it happen at parties?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's, like, it's a focus, too. I'm kind of surprised you missed it. That it's, like, very much a focus of that scene because, like, guys are, like, cheering them on and shit. It's very
Okay.
Yeah, it's when we see Jason, right?
Yes, I believe so.
So we see Regina, and I really like the little rhinestones she has on the inside of her eyes, like side note. She looks really pretty. So she goes to talk to Aaron about Katie, and as soon as Aaron says, like, oh yeah, she's cool, I invited her, you see this like switch flip in Regina.
And also very quickly, can we talk about Aaron's super underwhelming football costume? He's like just a football player. Like, that's so boring. Like, I don't know. I mean, even for dudes, not that dudes, especially in high school, were like that creative.
Isn't he on the soccer team normally?
But that like is even more boring.
Well, he was on the soccer team. So
I don't know, but he's
changing it up.
Lazy.
So we see Regina like automatically make the decision that she's going to like sabotage Katie. And she starts making all this stuff up. She says like, you know, she writes Mrs. Aaron Samuels on all her notebooks. She made a t-shirt that says, I love Aaron, and she wears it under all of her clothes.
He saved a Kleenex and he's going to do like African voodoo on it to make him like her.
And it's just so embarrassing. We see them like looking at Katie and she's like waving with her like weird costume teeth. She has no idea what's going on.
And that's also when Regina again says the R word. She goes, I know she's kind of socially R word and weird. Like, ooh,
but she's right. And we see Katie, she's looking and she goes, she is such a good, SWAT! And she sees Regina kissing Aaron. Mm. Bursts in on Janice and Damien. They're watching a horror movie.
I love that.
No, I like this part when Aaron's kind of questions, like, didn't you break up with me? She's like, why would I break up with you?
You're so hot.
Yeah,
you're so hot.
Gaslighting. Gaslight your man. Mm-hmm. Feminist icon, Regina George, gaslight your man.
So they're watching a horror movie and she tells them that Regina took Aaron back and Janice goes, because she's a life ruiner. She ruins people's lives.
We used to say that about people all the time. I love that line.
So Janice comes up with a plan to get Regina back. And she says, Regina George is an evil dictator. And how do you get rid of a dictator? You need to cut off her resources.
Very nuanced reference for a high school junior.
Yes. Well, high school students in movies are always much smarter than your typical real life high school students. So she says they need to take away her high status man candy, her technically good physique.
Fuck out of here. She's
army gorgeous. Of skanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of here, technically.
Yeah, no, she has a great body.
In the musical, she tells us she never weighs more than 115.
Bless. See, that's fucked up. See, there we go. That internalized shit.
That's why she's always doing those crazy diets. We're going to her like doing another one of those diets.
Yeah, she's always doing like some fad diet. We see her in a minute too. She calls it the South Beach Fat Flush, and she's just drinking cranberry juice cocktail.
Well, I also have the line about I want to lose 3 pounds that she brings up again, because it is like one of my favorite Mariah Carey memories when she, because Mariah Carey is a Mean Girls stan based on the fact that like
Mean Girls, yes.
The fact, first of all, that she did Obsessed, and she literally starts with like, are whatever.
So
like,
yeah, why are you so
obsessed with me? That there's a great scene that time that Mariah and Nikki were on American Idol and they hated each other from the get-go. Mariah is like minding her own business and she's like, I just want to lose 3 pounds. Yeah. And Nikki goes, I know how you can. And Mariah goes, oh, it's a quote from Mean Girls. If you knew Mean Girls, you would know that. Like, I found the video and like typed out the dialogue. And then Nikki goes, I know Mean Girls. And then so Mariah starts literally mean girling her, goes, okay, then which character says it? And Nikki like doesn't know, and Mariah just like rips her to shreds. Oh my god, it's such an iconic moment.
I love that, and I need to find that video.
Oh yeah, we might have to put that up too. That is so good. I love Mariah Carey.
And she loves me girl, like she just
I love that for her.
We record episode about Cribs, and we used Mariah's.
Oh, one of the best. Oh my God. One of the most, one of, if not the most iconic episode up there, with like Redman not having a doorbell and Robbie Williams' random like employees having sex in a car.
He rented that place.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we talked about it all.
Oh my God. No, I'm so excited. Oh, I can't wait to hear it. Yay. Yeah.
Katie tells us that pretending that nothing was wrong, Jana says you have to keep hanging out with them like nothing's wrong. And Katie says that that turned out to be surprisingly easy. So we see Gretchen talking to Katie, and she says, like, you know, she tried to talk to Aaron for you, but he was only interested in getting her back, and that's not Regina's fault. And Katie's like, oh, yeah, no, I understand. And then Gretchen goes, Regina wanted me to give you this. Gives Katie, like, the most awkward hug.
Such a power move.
And then we see them all at lunch, and this is, like, the scene, if there's ever a time you just want to, like, strangle Regina George.
Yes.
They're sitting in lunch, and as soon as Katie walks up, she goes to Aaron, why do you wear your hair like that? Your hair looks so sexy pushed back. Katie, will you please tell him his hair looks sexy pushed back?
No. In Regina's mind, she says it. Katie's like, your hair looks sexy pushed back. Like, you know, obviously doesn't want to say it. And you know Regina, like, logged that in her brain for, like, a future fight, being like, you told my boyfriend he looks sexy with his hair pushed back. You know, like, she's definitely going to, like, pull that out again.
Katie's Africa fantasies, where she imagines, like, what would happen in the animal world. And she, like, jumps her, and this, like, brawl ensues. And I just, like, I wish she would, like, in girl world.
But it also is such, like, a male, like, I hate to get on this tangent about it, but it's such a male gazy style fight, because it would be a lot more punching directly in the face where it's actual women. But no, it's got to be this sexy cleave. Well, like, you can't, it's, I always forget that it's not a visual medium, and I'm like, oh, it's cleavagey fight, you know what I mean? Like, and this is when I remember all the dudes having crush on Lindsay Lohan, because she just got tits out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, she went from being like the little girl in oh my God,
The Parent Trap.
Parent Trap. Oh my God, how embarrassing. But like, in The Parent Trap, to being like a teen woman, you know?
Yes, a woman child.
A woman child.
So she tells us that in girl world, all the fighting had to be sneaky. So they keep trying to come up with ways to sabotage Regina. We get the scene where they cut the boobs out of Regina's tank top. And of course, it becomes this like huge trend. Then we see like all the girls wearing tank tops with like the boobs.
I feel like I made a reference to that on my podcast the other day, but I wish I could remember what it was in reference to. I literally, that's how ubiquitous this movie is, that I was like, oh my God, it's like that scene where Regina gets the whole, like.
That would be, I've been trying to think of like 90s or 2000s, like Halloween costumes for us to do. That would be an easy one.
That's, yeah, and people would automatically get it too.
Yeah, and we could wear it with like flops and army pants.
Yes, well, that was Katie's look, so.
But, you know. We see them in line to buy candygrams, and Katie's talking about how they have to practice for the talent show. She goes, we're doing this song, and Janice and Damien go, Jingle Bell Rock. You guys know that song? Damien tells her everyone in the English-speaking world knows that song. So Regina's coming, so she like runs away real quick, and this is where Regina explains about how they used to be friends. She says that they were friends. I know, so embarrassing. She goes, but then in eighth grade, I started going out with my first boyfriend, Kyle, who was like totally gorgeous, but then he moved to Indiana. And Janice was like weirdly obsessed with her and would get like so jealous when she would hang out with Kyle. And she tells Janice that she doesn't think she can have her at her birthday party because she thinks she's a lesbian. And it was a pool party. I mean, she couldn't have her there. There were going to be girls there in their bathing suits. I mean, she was a lesbian, right?
Yikes. But also, I realize this is kind of a, this and the Aaron Samuels, like when she's talking to Katie about Aaron, like how sneaky these are in proving her bitchiness, because only somebody that self-absorbed could like misinterpret somebody, one, being obsessed with their mom and their friends and their schoolwork as being a bad thing, but also somebody wanting to do regular friendship maintenance as a bad thing also.
Right.
So it's like weird, like low-key ways of being like, look how irrational she is, while not being completely like pulling it out of thin air. Like,
right, these
are things that people who aren't that self-aware would be dumb enough to believe.
Right. You know how she talks about how she like dropped out of school and like, because nobody talked to her, and came back with no hair? Is it possible Janice was like sick and an underdeveloped storyline?
I mean, based on the way they treat disabled people in this movie, would I be shocked?
No. It's just weird how they like point that out. And I'm like, I wonder if there was like,
I always thought it was just that like she comes back angsty and she like had shaved.
Yeah. Like the first couple times I watched it, I always like, especially the first time I watched it, I'm like, is it going to come out? Like that's what happened? Like, you know, she had been sick and like Regina was like a shitty friend.
This is also another scene where we get the R word thrown around.
Mm-hmm. As they're talking, this girl walks by and Regina is like, oh my God, where did you get that skirt? It's so cute. And she says it's her mom's from the 80s. It's vintage. And when she walks away, Regina goes, that's the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen. And we see Katie flashback to when they first met and she complimented Katie's bracelet.
I also want to say that that girl's skirt is cute as hell.
It is.
How is that skirt hideous, but the brown plaid skirt that she wore, that Gretchen had on at the mall, apparently not ugly?
No, you know.
And that's what I was like, why would you even go that far to like compliment the girl? Like, that's like the other thing. It's like you see it, you hate it, and you're like, oh, where'd you get it? It's so cute. I love it.
That's power moves.
Yeah, I guess it is power moves.
And that girl, when people are like talking shit about Regina George, is going to be like, no, she's so nice. She complimented my skirt.
Yeah.
I just figured she wanted to avoid the store that she found it.
I thought she was just trying to fuck with her, like purely just being like a troll move, just being like, oh my God, I love it. Actually, it's the worst, but yeah. She doesn't need to know that. Like, you know, and that's good enough. Mm-hmm.
So they're selling the candy grams, and Katie tells us they're going to use 3 candy canes to crack Gretchen Wieners. They decide that Gretchen is the key. She holds all the secrets, and they just need to get her to spill one that she can use.
Say crack again.
crack. So we see them in class, and again, this happens in every teen movie. What they're studying in class like parallels what's going on with their lives. So they're in class, they're reading Julius Caesar. So Damien comes in dressed as Santa Claus, and 4 for Glen Coco. You go, Glen Coco.
Why was that everywhere? But it's like one of the most
moment was one of, there were 2 moments in the musical where you could like, the excitement in the room was palpable because people knew this line was coming and they were so excited. And when he said it, everyone cheered. Also, the kid who plays Damien is like incredible. He also should have won a Tony, but that was a moment where like, as soon as he came in, everyone was like,
yes, he's going to say it.
I will tell you the other one when we get to it.
Now, Jessica talks a lot about the Mean Girls musical, but I would like to brag a little bit because I saw a bunch of drag queens lip sync to Mean Girls, the movie.
Wow.
And
yes.
Yes. And this was also a really big moment at the club. Just
that sounds equally epic. Yeah.
It was pretty.
He goes like Coco. And then he goes, and none for Gretchen Wieners. Bye.
So then
we see them. Now they're at the talent show. Damien is singing Beautiful.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Apparently when he sang that, there was like nobody else in like the audience. It was just like, I guess his mom was like the only person in the audience, like when they filmed that scene.
So we see Gretchen and Katie backstage, and Gretchen is like still talking about the candy canes, and she goes, why would she send you a candy cane? She doesn't even like you that much.
Oh, Gretchen.
I like when the principal comes out and he's like, make some noise, and they're all like cheering. He's like, settle down. Show you're an audience, you're supposed to make noise.
Then Kevin does his rap, Kevin DePoor. Do I have to do it?
Oh my God, no, I love it. The part especially at the end, it was like, gee, silent when I come through your door, make love through your woman on the bathroom floor.
Yeah. Love.
If you like Shaggy, you'll know it was me because the next time you see her, she'll be like, oh.
And then you hear the principal go, that's enough, Kevin.
Also, he's got a line that says, nerd is inferred, but I feel like this is pre-nerds being cool.
Yeah, it is. Nerd is inferred, so forget what you heard. I'm Kevin DePore. Yeah. I read that Amy Poehler, like, coached him on how to, like, do that scene.
Yeah, because she wrote the rap. Yeah.
So we see the Plastics backstage getting ready for their dance, and Regina decides that they need to switch sides at the last minute because of, like, their height. But we know they've been rehearsing.
That's okay. Like, you guys were going to pick this out as theater people. Yeah. That part drove me nuts. It's like, you know that control freak. I mean, obviously, I'm sure probably a power move to decide to
do it. Yeah, power move, yes.
But if this has been bothering you this whole time, just do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Me nuts. So they come out, they do their dance. It's like this sexy Jingle Bell Rocks. And Damien says to Janice, does it bother you that they still use your original choreography?
Okay, but then, all right, but when did we establish that Janice and Regina stopped talking? Because this seems like a super age inappropriate dance for what?
Yes, 10, they stopped 11? Talking in eighth grade.
Yeah, because that would have been in school.
Like, not appropriate. For to do, like, to do this choreography.
This is, like, another moment. So, like, Katie's parents are in the audience. They are, like, rightfully appalled. Katie, at no point did it occur to her that this might be inappropriate, apparently.
Born sexy
because
yesterday.
She doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Like, these girls are telling her this is okay and this is what we do. So she's just blindly, you know, following some of these kids.
So because they've switched sides, Gretchen's all turned around and she kicks the stereo and it hits Jason in the face, which, like, honestly, I love.
But wait, you're forgetting about the true star of this scene. Amy Poehler.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the best part, and I love that this is how I decided that I love, like, I mean, I already knew I loved Ariana Grande, but, like, what really, truly, honestly cemented it is knowing she's from the internet enough to see all the memes about Kris Jenner being George and deciding to make her that in the Thank You Next video. I watched it and I screamed at this because she'd been hyping it up. Like, oh, there's going to be a special person. People will be like, your mom? Because her mom is, like, big on social media too. And she's like, no, my mother would never, but we've got somebody equally as good. And I love Kris Jenner at the end going, Thank You Next, bitch.
Yes. I like Kris Jenner. I know a lot of people hate
evil genius. Like, Regina George too, the evil genius.
Yeah, I wish my mom had tried to put me into showbiz and make me a ton of money.
Listen, I have an unpopular opinion on this, which is, like, if your sex tape is going to be leaked, you should at the very least make money off of it.
Yeah, monetize it.
Like, hello, somebody's going to be making money off of it. Why shouldn't it be you?
It'll be you.
Yep. Like, I was, like, thinking at this point, like, why do the Plastics do this? Like, the talent show doesn't seem like a cool kid thing to do.
I also have a question.
I was in the talent show in high school because I was a choir and theater kids, so
right?
Dang. Like, that's, you know.
But I don't understand too, and how everybody lets them get away with one doing the same exact thing every year. Like, they show up to the talent show just to do this same routine that they've been doing since they were, like, I don't know, 11.
I guess they just think they're hot shit that much.
Nobody's stopping them from, like, slapping their thighs and, like, gyrating, like, this entire time. This has never come up as an issue.
And panders to Regina George. We know this.
I guess that's true.
Have either of you watched Jemé, High School Girl?
Yes.
A little bit, yeah.
Yes.
Remember when they do, like, Jemé does a whole, like, dance in front of the school and they, like, rip off schoolgirl uniforms? Like, even in that show, they got in trouble.
When I was in college, one of the sororities used to do this, like, Search for the Stars fundraiser, and it was, like, basically a talent show, and everyone would, like, you know, everyone from each Greek organization would send, like, a couple people to, like, go do it for charity. But they would have, like, a table and, like, anyone could sign up to be in it. But, like, you know, it was, like, a Greek thing. Like, no one really did, like, outside of the Greek community. But this one year there was this girl and my friend was in that sorority and she told me that, like, she came up to the table and was like, so anyone can do, like, anything? And they were like, yeah.
Girl, I guess.
She did it. She danced to Toxic by Britney Spears in, like, the nude sparkle bodysuit, and
I am horrified and amazed simultaneously.
It was super embarrassing, and it was, like, it was also one of those things where it was, like, not to be, like, snotty, but, like, if someone from, like, within the community, like, the Greek community had done it,
we would have been like, oh, haha, like that's, but it was like this random girl and everyone was like,
who asked to be in it?
Is this?
I want to pretend like I'm not petty like that, but I am.
No, like this is obviously not a joke because she came from the outside. She's a GDI. I don't know if you use that.
Yes.
Do you know, have I ever told you about that?
Goddamn independent, right? Or
she was a GDI.
Yes.
My roommate and I used to like jokingly throw that term around, but she was a GDI and did this like bizarre like Britney Spears number. It was
my favorite part about the story is that it wasn't even good because if you've got the costume and you're ready, right, to, like volunteered to do it, I would assume that you've like
you're gonna slay it.
You've been doing this choreo in your dorm room, but
forever, sure. Yeah. In college, we did a talent show. It was like our dorm was putting on a talent show, and we were all kind of like laughing, being like, haha, who's actually going to do it? Because it was, I don't know about you guys, but like all of our like resident advisors, they would just like have parties as an excuse to get like pizza because like you'd get like a little bit of money for like all the parties you did. And so we literally 15 minutes before and totally sober. It was like James was one of them, and it was like two of our other girlfriends. We all decide to choreograph this dance. So our friend had this like weird music that was very like Indian inspired and stuff. And so it was the craziest thing. We were such dorks. We ended up, we had James pretend to be a coming out of a cocoon, like a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. And so we had one of those, like, you know, those accordion laundry bags that you had in college. So we had one of those, and he was kind of like in the middle, and he was underneath that. And this is what we did in front of a bunch of people. And so the rest of us were like fairies. And so we were dancing around. And part of the joke was that for the first like 20 seconds, we didn't do anything. We just stood in place because we said it was going to be so awkward that people were going to laugh. And James was right. And it did work because people started laughing hysterically that we weren't doing anything. And so then we get up and like the girls, we were like had like flowers in our hand. And so we start like blessing the cocoon with flowers and like acting like they're our wands. God. All to this random music. So James comes out of the cocoon. When he comes out of the cocoon, everyone started cheering. And he started like flying around like a butterfly. But then the whole thing was that he starts hitting the flowers out of our hands. And so like, and like beating us. And so we do this dramatic fall to the ground. And then we grab our flowers and we beat him with the flowers. And then we beat him back into the cocoon. And that was the end of the dance. We got second place. We beat people with actual talent and got second place.
Oh my God. Well, because you were the fan favorite. See, I was going to say, my husband did one of those. It's like his proudest moment, probably more so than our
mine too.
Wedding, is he did one of those exact same things on his floor. He did the Ninja Turtle rap from he led it and like taught everybody the choreo, and it's still on YouTube somewhere.
Link please. Thank you.
I'll send you that.
Link us.
Baby Mr. Feeny doing his Ninja Turtle.
So funny. Band.
Yeah. So during this talent show, kick the stereo off onto the stage and hits the guy, and suddenly they have no more music. And it's so embarrassing. And suddenly Katie just decides to belt out the song she never knew before.
Oh my God. But you know, they've been practicing. Miss Norbury runs to the piano.
Everyone's and the whole place does a whole sing-along. It's so cute.
It turns into this, like, great moment.
And so we learned Lindsay Lohan had a good voice.
Or I guess we knew that in Freaky Friday.
Yeah, or her breakout single, Rumors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Rumors.
Oh, my God. So they are backstage, and Kevin DePore comes up and says something to her about, like, oh, you know, have you thought any more about mathletes? And Erin goes, mathletes? You hate math. So, you know, her lies are starting to unravel.
Yeah.
Or just men being dumb.
Yeah. So Gretchen says something about like how Kevin is like totally into her, and she goes, that is so fetch. And that's the other iconic line. But stop Gretchen trying to make things happen.
Yeah. What Gretchen does is she insists that Katie likes him back because Katie just said thanks. And she's like, right. No, you totally like him. Totally I can like totally him. Tell.
You're blushing.
And I was like, that triggered me because that would happen to me every once in a while. It's like, you just smile at someone or like talk to someone. They're like, oh my God, you love him. You love him so much. And you're like, no, I don't. No, you do. Yeah. You do. And it's just like, no, if I'm telling you I don't. Like, that just really bothered me.
Well, also it's like an attempt to try to like embarrass her and undermine her.
Right.
It's like, oh my God, like I now felt so stupid. I did this embarrassing thing. Now I want you to feel as bad as I felt.
Yeah. Right. And I love that the last straw for Gretchen is Regina hating on Fetch. And then it all comes out.
And then Gretchen melts down in English class. Because English class is where you melt down at a teen movie.
Of course, yeah. Giving a speech, yeah. Giving like a report.
They totally just stab Caesar. This is one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie. I think Lacey Chabert is the low-key star of this movie. She's explaining, she goes, you know, if you even knew how bad she really is, you know I can't wear hoop earrings, right? She goes on to explain.
I love that. She's got
these beautiful white gold hoops for Hanukkah. Hoops. And she had to act like she didn't even like them. And it was so sad.
She like, says hoops the way Tiffany New York Pollard says hoops, which is hoops.
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 Yeah. And apparently someone I remember once pointed out that I guess later on Katie starts wearing hoops when she starts becoming like a little bit more of like powerful. Yeah.
Ooh, good catch.
I didn't catch it. Someone else did.
Whoever caught it, somebody's got their eye out. Also, this is as an English major, this was always my Ides of March Facebook status, that whole speech.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Yes. English major is what it is. As a dumb
I was just about to say, what did you go on to major in?
As a dumb English major, but
Jessica, I have a question. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to catch Regina in the projection room above the auditorium. They learn from Gretchen she's making out. In high schools now, is that like a joke in high schools about like going to the projection room above the auditorium?
I've never heard anyone say that.
Oh, because I could just see that being like a joke since it's so popular. Like,
And the movie is still popular, but I've never heard anyone make that joke. Yeah, so Gretchen says another iconic Gretchen line. She spills that Regina has been cheating on Aaron with Shane Omen, and she never told anyone because she's such a good friend.
Such a good friend, yes.
Gretchen has some great lines.
And Gretchen is like, you know, just they're trying to help Aaron catch Regina, and they try like all these different things. At one point, my favorite one, Damien runs by like in a mask and he snatches papers, and Katie goes, it looks like he's headed for the projection room above the auditorium. And of course, Aaron goes like running after to like.
Isn't that when they catch the coach and the student together?
How fucking disgusting. I'm sorry. Like, everybody's just like, haha, isn't it hilarious? Like,
allegedly, that happened in our school.
We see this in a lot of 90s and 2000s movies. No one seems to care about stuff like this.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Our gym teacher also was accused of that.
Yes. It happened at our high school. It happened
in every high school.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every high school has that. I feel like this was a Twitter thread the other day where, I guess, like, in relation to, like, Jeffrey Epstein stuff, where it's like, didn't every high school have one of those? And I'm like, not only that, but ours, he was, like, a super big pothead and would just not come back to, like, classes and stuff. But, like, didn't get fired because
tenure.
He used to go to that school. Like, there were, like, pictures of him on the wall from,
The school where I used to
like
that. And then he worked there and was rumored for being involved with all kinds of girls. Like, that was, like, a running, very popular joke that, and he would either come to class high or, you know, or not come at all. And everybody'd be like, that's just him. And then he finally got downgraded to the middle school. He was the girl soccer coach, too. Then he got downgraded to the middle school for pocketing.
Always the girls' soccer coaches, P.S.
Always. Well, he was also the baseball coach, the boys' baseball coach.
That's too. Always the baseball kids too.
Yeah, that he was pocketing money for a basketball camp and then went on vacation with it. So they just moved him to another school.
Wow. Not fire him? What?
I'm going to throw allegedly on this because I am not like. Not that I know.
They must not have been able to prove it. They must not have been able to prove that's how he, like, where he used the money or
but
something.
But also because
he, like,
the rumors were there for the entire time and it was, like, basically an open secret. Like, I guess it's just weird to, like, move him like a priest. So.
Right.
Right.
So they continue with their sabotage, and Katie has these Caltine bars that her mom used to give to the African kids to help them gain weight.
Now, this is a little uncalled for. You made the girl gain weight. That's really savage.
That's really right. That's very
so it's hard to lose weight.
Go after her technically good physique. So they give her the Caltine bars and they tell her it burns carbs. It just burns up all your carbs.
Burns up all your carbs.
We get our token makeover scene.
Yes.
Where they're giving Katie this makeover and all the evil stuff Regina does. It bothers me so much when she slaps Gretchen's hand away from Katie's hair.
Oh, yeah. Gretchen has great hair.
Just so rude.
If anybody should be in charge of the hair part,
it's Gretchen.
Gretchen. She stores secrets in there. And then we get the iconic, like, walking down the hall scene.
Yes, pass the Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which is from Jawbreakers. Inspo by Jawbreakers.
Oh, maybe this movie did do a lot of like purposeful callbacks. I didn't think about that, but you're
same
right.
Bucket. It's like the same scene in Jawbreaker. We just watched that like last week. And she says that being with the Plastics was like being famous. I don't know where you went to school. I went to like a small-ish school. It was smaller at the time when I went to it than it is now. And that's kind of what being in a sorority was like.
It was like, I feel like there were those subsets within the Greek life. Like Greek life in and of itself was, because I went to like a New York State school. So it was like most of the people, you either like were in Greek life or like thought that you were better than Greek life. So, but within the community, there was certainly that aspect. Like, because I mean, part of the reason, honestly, I wanted to join a sorority is because like coming from high school, and this is so embarrassing, but like coming from high school and like not being popular, like I saw that you had the opportunity to like walk into a room like you were famous and like kiss people on the cheeks and be like, oh my God, hi, like walk into a party like that. I was like, I want to do that. And
yeah, that's exactly what it's like. I had this friend, like didn't even go to my school. I knew him through like a friend from school and he lived in like the town. I went to Stockton and he lived like in town, and he would tell me stories about, he would be like, oh, I was talking to like such and such a girl, and she said that she saw you like do this at this party. And I would be like, I don't even know who that is. Like, what? And it was like
rumors. Right.
And I think if I had not been in a sorority, I don't think anyone would be interested in what I was doing.
Exactly. Yes. 100%. And it's
because people don't want to say, you know, Jessica did this. They want to be able to say, like, oh, this maybe I shouldn't say this Tri Delta did this, or like this girl from, you know, that sorority.
100%.
Yeah, so I related to Katie. I feel like I've had that experience a little bit.
A little bit, yes. I've done that.
Yeah. And now, because even the prince, because I loved, the best part is when, like, everybody's talking about, like, the different rumors that they know or, like, what they've heard about.
Popular now. There are, like, rumors about her, too.
Yeah, kind of like the same way, like, Regina George in the beginning of the movie when we're, like, learning about her. And yeah, the absolute best.
Africa. Jason says she may even be hotter than Regina George. And the principal says,
the best
that he hears that Regina and Aaron were canoodling together at like so-and-so's Halloween party, which is so funny because it's like so accurate. Like we always know everything.
Yeah. And they've been inseparable ever since. And he's so serious when I love it. It's like, oh, Tomatoes is so good.
Stand. Yes.
Yeah. He's just so good in this whole movie. It's so funny.
And then Katie walks into a trash can and goes like head first into it. So we see that Katie is becoming like obsessed with Regina. She says like, you know, if I wasn't talking about her, I was looking for an excuse to talk about her. I was like hoping someone would bring her up so I could talk about her. And she has a theory that she's not even really that pretty. And she has a theory that if you cut all her hair off, she would look like a British man.
I feel like that goes for like most people, unless you're like Amber Rose. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Most of us look bad with our hair cut off. So
agree. Janice tells Katie to like take the night off from her double life. She wants her to come to her art show. And then she tells her she smells like a baby prostitute. And
yikes.
Regina says, she says that Regina gave her some perfume. And I was thinking, like, do you think Regina gave her bad perfume on purpose?
Ooh.
It'd be apropos.
A baby prostitute perfume I didn't picture as smelling bad.
Well, one of the things they gave Regina was the foot cream, and that's because they're like, all we did was make her smell like a foot.
What was that? I'm trying, Baby Soft. Do you remember that perfume? Like the early 90s? Baby Soft. I can like still picture the bottle.
No,
I'm assuming it was like a light pink bottle.
Would smell like.
Right.
It had like a round like pink top. I'll find it for the gram.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's what I imagine a baby prostitute smells like.
I literally just picture Brooke Shields in that movie where she actually plays a baby prostitute.
Isn't it called Pretty Baby?
Yes, it is. Yes, yes. Yes. Oh my God, there we go. Full circle.
There you go.
So Aaron has now figured out that like she's not actually bad at math. So she decides she's going to flunk for real so that he'll have to tutor her. And she starts like bombing her tests and quizzes on purpose.
How embarrassing.
Also, wait, Aaron's kind of a crappy boyfriend because he kisses Katie when he's like with Regina and he's like, don't tell her.
Even before that, Katie's like, will Regina be okay with that? And Aaron's like, we won't tell her.
Also, wouldn't that be Katie's first kiss?
Probably.
I realized that watching this and like, I was like, wait a minute, like, they should have made a bigger deal about that.
Yeah, so they're doing math and it's all like laden with all this innuendo when they're talking about like whatever the math is. I don't know math. And they kiss. And Aaron's like, you know, I can't do this. It's not fair to Regina. And Katie like breaks it. And she asks why Aaron likes her. And he says, there's good and bad to everybody. Regina is just more upfront about it.
bursts out that, you know, she blurts out that she's cheating on him. So he breaks up with her, and we see them, like, you know, I want to say, like, sitting Shiva, but it's, yeah, I don't know if anyone else knows what that means.
With no, I do, and I think that's what it is, the hand holding.
Yeah, but, like, the holding the hands while she cries, and, like. Yes.
I was half a virgin when I met him.
Another iconic line, like, just.
He does not give Katie up. Regina, or, Gretchen says, did he say who told him? And she says, he said some guy on the basketball team.
Wait, very quickly about the half a virgin line, because I forgot I had this in my notes. So these girls are all juniors, I assume, right?
Like, I believe so. They're going to say that later.
Is that they're 16. Yeah, so they're juniors. She dated him for a year prior. When did she lose her half
virgin? The other half of her virginity? Probably with Kyle before he moved to Indiana.
Oh.
Good
possibly
one.
Eighth grade, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Where does the half? I don't want to know where the half cuts off. Anyway, so.
Regina runs off crying. Nobody understands her. Karen goes, let's do something fun. Want to go to Taco Bell? So I can't go to Taco Bell, Karen. I'm on an all-carb diet. God, you're so stupid.
Stupid. I love
it. No, she really crying. Point stupid. She really gets that out there.
Stupid. Yeah, no, it's very purposeful.
Pointed. Yeah.
Yes.
This is where Karen tells us that her breasts can tell when it's going to rain. Well, they can tell when it's raining.
It's like I have ESPN or something.
Oh, I love Karen.
I could have gotten a little more Karen in this movie.
Amanda Seyfried is like so good in this scene in particular that I would have loved to see more of her throughout.
Yeah, she was a little underused.
Yeah. So this is when Regina's mom walks in and offers them like snacks or condoms.
Oh, I love ya.
And then they announced the nominations for Spring Fling Queen, and it's Regina, Gretchen. Damien was in charge of like the votes, and he put Janice in as a nominee. And then they announced Katie as a nominee, and she's like, oh, that wasn't part of the plan. But it turns out he did not put her in. She's actually nominated.
So then she gives like a smug little smile that they both like imitate.
Yeah. So they go shopping for their dresses, and they go to pick up this dress that Regina has had on hold.
246? Is that what it was called?
135.
Oh, 135.
Dress of 5. And as someone who has struggled with my weight, and like every time I have to get dressed up, is like, is this dress going to fit? I was like so triggered by her like not being able to get the zipper up.
I just want to know like what this is even based on, like where the concept of this store, I guess, is it just the idea that like
she's just super skinny, hearing that this was a real store that Tina
I vaguely Fair remember that too, yeah. But like
I don't know that, but it was a store that only had like maybe it was 2, 4
up to an 8. It's probably like, it was like up to an 8 or something.
I grew up in like what is called the mall capital of the world, and because we had like a bunch of malls and Paramus. Mm-hmm. I literally, it was like, if I don't know that store didn't exist.
Something about the Paramus Park Mall.
Paramus Park, but we also have Garden State Plaza.
Whenever someone mentions Paramus or the Paramus Park Mall, I immediately go in my head back to 7th grade because there was a very famous Hanson concert at the Paramus Park Mall.
Oh my God.
Was it really?
They played at the mall when they first came out, and they always would say, I was obsessed with Hanson back in the day. Yes. And they would always say in interviews that that was when they first realized they were famous. Like they thought they were just playing this like little mall show in New Jersey.
Oh my God.
Like they couldn't get enough security to like keep the girls away. And that was when they first realized how they had like
blown I feel like out. I must have known about that then, because that's how I didn't know that. And I had the Hanson poster on my wall too. I was so obsessed with them.
Same.
Fellow Stan.
To Atlantic City in October.
So two friends of mine saw them when we were in college, and they said that it was one of those kinds of bands where like you go for like the old shit, and they wanted to play they only play their new shit. So hopefully they've like,
I saw them.
I've seen them recently. They'll still play, not recently, but like I've seen them with my husband. So I've seen them like in the last decade. They still play like Mbop. They'll still play Where's the Love. They'll play like,
when I was with you, they did that. When I was with you, they did that cover of The Three Dog Night.
Never Been Seen. They do an awesome.
Yeah, that was nice. So good. Yeah, that was.
They're great musicians.
Yeah, they can sing too.
Yeah, they're a great band. They've put out. I haven't kept up with like all their newer albums, but they've put out like a lot of music over the years. They put out another Christmas album this year, and I like love
their because they have like a gaggle of children between them. Like, yes, how you do. Even have
Taylor's wife just had another baby.
They could do a Partridge Family.
Was that, like her sixth? Like,
yeah, it might be more. Some of his kids are like older teenagers now.
Yeah,
ooh. Yeah, because they started young.
His wife on Instagram, and him too. Yeah. But like his life is like a lifestyle blogger.
Yes, of course. Of course she is.
Yeah. Everyone with a ton of children is. Yeah.
Yes, that is true.
Yes. You know, she has a built-in following because she's married to Taylor Hansen.
Well, absolutely.
So Regina can't fit into the dress, and Katie tells her that she's just running on water, and it's just like all water weight, and so it's just all going to flush out, and she's going to lose weight just like that.
Yeah, one of like the low-key funniest lines in the movie, she says, you know, it's all on the label, and Regina goes, you can read Swedish? Goes, yeah, everyone in Africa can read Swedish.
That's amazing.
Her delivery is just like perfect. I also feel like we get the low-key best burn of the movie when the woman in the store goes, you could try Sears.
It won't close.
It's a five.
You could try Sears.
So I was looking up, I forgot why I was looking up quotes today for this for a specific reason, but I stumbled on a USA Today article about the best quotes for Mean Girls, and that was ranked number 3.
Oh, that's good.
It's a good
one. Exact.
Well, yeah. I will, because we haven't gotten to number 1 yet, but we did pass number 2, which is, oh my God, Danny DeVito, I love your work.
Oh, yes. How could we forget that?
So we see them back in school, and Miss Norbury points out to Katie that all of the work on her math is right. It's just the answers that are wrong. So Miss Norbury is like trying to get through to her and trying to tell her that like she doesn't have to dumb down to get boys to like her. And like this scene basically, I feel, sums up why I couldn't be a teacher anymore, because poor Miss Norbury is like so earnest. She's like really trying to help this girl. And Katie's just like, okay.
Like can't get out of there fast enough.
Right. Like girl,
does not care.
Girl, I don't give a fuck.
Did you guys clock Katie's little Louis Vuitton purse, which was like such a thing at the time?
Oh my God. So.
Oh yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I looked up how much they cost in 2004. It's like a $600 bag.
My guess is that she would have borrowed Regina's. Yeah.
Mm. Now they're probably like at least a grand.
Good call. Because I was saying, like, is it a knockoff? Like, I can't imagine her parents.
You know her hippy-dippy parents would not even understand what a Louis Vuitton.
Oh, yeah. Regina would want her to flex a little bit if she's part of her crew. So she's probably like, here, take this old thing.
I mean, I assume that's all like Regina. Like, it's like a communal wardrobe too, which is how Katie's able to dress like this. So I assume that purses came.
Right. Oh,
I bet Regina's kind of like, I remember one of my favorite Archie comics was the time. So Veronica only wore her outfits once. So she had all these clothes that she didn't wear anymore. And so she gave them to Betty, and she like told Betty how to wear everything and like how to do her makeup with everything. But she didn't realize she was making Betty hot. So when Betty was like going to school, like Archie was giving all of his attention to Betty. And so then she was like, oh, like, so like, what did I do? I imagine that's something similar.
Very Mean Girls. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very similar. I forget how it's ended, but I'm sure they stayed friends.
So then we get this like crazy four-way phone call.
One of the other best lines of the movie.
Oh, wait, did we talk about how they put Ms. Norbury in the book?
Oh, right. Oh, so Katie's like complaining about Ms. Norbury, because Ms. Norbury says to her, like, I'm a pusher, Katie. I pushed my husband into law school. I pushed myself to work all these jobs, and now I'm going to push you. And so Katie tells them how, like, you know, she kept saying, I'm a pusher, Katie, I'm a pusher. And they're like, what, like drug pusher? And Gretchen tells her, let it all out, honey. Put it in the book.
Put it in the book.
And I like this line Katie says. She goes, I know it looks like I was a bitch, but it was because I was acting like a bitch.
Right.
Oh, also, because I was wondering.
You're just a bitch right now.
I had this line in my notes and I forgot the context, but now I remember that Katie goes, oh, she's so queer. And you know that she means queer, like gay.
Yeah.
Like,
that's probably one of the other things they had to change to make it PG-13.
Well, not even that. Well, I mean, they didn't have any problem saying dyke before that. So
that's true. That's a good point.
But I mean, it's just such a weird thing. I don't know. Just that whole scene, like, really, I don't know if it's just now as an adult that it really pissed me off, but it was just like, she just told you you were like doing bad in the class. It's not her fault. I mean, well, whatever.
But that's such a teenager thing to like blame everyone else but yourself.
Even though the fact that you know for a fact you're throwing yourself under the bus. Like, what did you expect her to do? Of course she's going to fail you, you idiot.
We get this weird four-way phone call. It's so funny because we see Regina and she's like eating this like huge hunk of bread. And she's talking about Gretchen, how it's like crazy. She's like worried about Gretchen being nominated for Spring Fling Queen because she was just nominated as a joke. Nobody's going to vote for her. And it really should be Karen, but people forget about her because she's such a slut.
That's like a 2-for-1 insult right there.
Yes.
These are her two closest friends.
Yes. Who does Regina say? So Regina hangs up with Katie and then she calls.
It was so confusing. I couldn't even write it all down.
So because Gretchen is on the call. With like was on the three-way sneak attack, same
correct
thing.
Yeah,
because Katie put her on,
right? Because Katie says, are you mad at her? And she says, no, I'm not mad at her, I'm worried about her.
So it's like the two of them left on the call. Then Regina calls Karen.
Karen. She wants to go out, but she says, don't invite Gretchen.
No. Because first they call Karen. Then Regina calls Karen. That's what it is. Because that's when the whole like, oh, she's so annoying.
Right.
And Gretchen's still on the line.
Right. So anyway, everyone has hurt feelings at the end, except Regina, and it's not good. Yeah.
So well, then this is like a line I always like too, when she, like Karen learns what Regina said. So when like Regina's trying to get her to go out, she's like, I'm sick. And then Regina goes, boo, you whore.
And whore, and hangs up. I still say that to my friends when they can't go out and do stuff.
The look on Karen's face is one of my favorites. Like the wide, like, like I can't.
So memeable too.
It is.
Regina shows up at school in sweatpants, and it is not Friday, and they tell her that she can't sit with them at lunch.
Is butter a carb?
Mm-hmm. And she goes, those rules aren't real. And Karen goes, they were real that day. I wore a vest because that vest was hideous. So then Gretchen like breaks down and you can't sit with us. So you can walk home, bitches. So she leaves, and Katie is now the new queen bee.
Well, wait, we need to talk about the fat phobic moment first. Where she bumps into the big girl, and the big girl goes, watch where you're going, fat ass. And
well, then you know that
down to Regina's ass as if it's big. And like, as a girl who was this same age at the same time and had big boobs and no butt, having a big ass was advantageous during this time. It was the era of J-Lo.
It still is.
Kardashian. Yeah. Right. No, I know. Like, it's very few and far between to find men.
I'm very lucky. Yes.
Boobs. Yes.
Yes.
No, not all of us are blessed like that. So it was actually like not an insult.
Yeah, I'm very happy to live in this time with my butt, with my huge ass.
I don't really have a butt.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, you always had boobs, so you had that going for you.
I had them surgically removed.
Yeah, but they still look nice.
Thank you. They're better now, I feel. They're like following Katie out of school, and they're like, so what are we doing this weekend? What are we going to do? And Katie realizes that she is the new queen bee. And so she's supposed to go to Madison for this thing with her parents, and she says she'll get out of it so they can hang out. And when she tells her parents, this is one of my favorite moments. So she tells her parents that she doesn't want to go to the thing, and her mom goes, but you love Lady Smith Black Bombazo. My friend Todd and I, shout out Todd if you happen to listen to this, were obsessed with that line for some reason. We would like say it all the time. We thought it was hilarious. We didn't realize that Lady Smith Black Bombazo
was a real band
until they came to my school. My college had like a big performing arts center.
Stop.
And performed there, and Todd and I went bananas. We were so excited.
Did you go?
I think I had the exact exact same moment. I think they also came to my college and had the exact same realization where it's like, oh my God, this is a real
thing.
I love
Bazo. She decides she's gonna have this small get together. And Siobhan, it reminded me of when we had our classy Christmas party.
Oh yeah, I forgot we did that.
And I will make a confession to you that you may have already known, but like Katie decides she's gonna have this like small get together. She's gonna have like, she says she has enough cheese and crackers for 8 people. And like clearly, it's like cheese and crackers. And like clearly the whole point of this party is to get Aaron to her house so she can hang out with him. Like she doesn't care who the other 7 people are, 6 people are. We had a classy Christmas party that we were keeping like small. I think our number was like 12 people we said we wanted to keep it to.
I totally forgot we did this.
It was all because there was a boy I wanted to see, like, at the time.
That's so funny. Did we do that at your house or mine?
We did it at Jimmy's. We have a good friend.
We did it at Jimmy's in his basement. Yeah, it wasn't really like a basement. It was like very nice.
It was like a nice finished, like, you know.
Yeah.
It was like a bar.
Oh, I forgot we used to always hang out there. Oh my God.
And we made everyone dress up. We said, what did we say? Jimmy wrote the invitation. We said like black tie not required, denim not accepted, or like something like that.
Something like that. Oh my God, what a good memory. I totally forgot we had.
Yeah, wasn't that nice? So I feel like that. It was, and it ended up being really fun. And there's more.
Yeah, it was.
Scandal about that, but that's for another time. So she's got like cheese and crackers for 8 people, and she thinks they're gonna have this nice, like classy little night. But of course it turns into like a rager. Like everyone shows up.
Yeah, she did not party protect her house, that's for sure. She was not prepared. Yeah. You gotta get rid of everything, you gotta cover the furniture in sheets, you gotta take everything off the walls. If you have a room that you can close off, that you can put all that stuff in, that's even better. But that's why, like, you know, vases and whatever, all that stuff is getting moved around.
I feel like Hollywood and, like, I guess pop culture, if you include Aaron's Party, like, made more afraid of this situation than was ever actually plausible.
Necessary. Yeah, because they didn't party proof in movies. They'd never party proof.
No, I mean that, like, the party would get, I have never heard of a party
raging.
Like, right, like, in high school, getting that. I mean, I guess apparently it's happened. Like, I've seen.
We've talked about
yeah,
this
my sister
before. We think we just weren't cool enough to be at those parties.
Well, so my sister, my oldest sister was cool enough. She was the one throwing those parties. Like, my parents would go out for, like, the evening, and she would, like, throw a party.
Bridget in the screen.
I can't remember if she was in high school or college, but she was, like, smoking pot. And, you know, like, sometimes you need, like, a screen, like, catch it or whatever when you're, like, having a bowl. Stupid. Bridget didn't have anything, and she needed a screen. So she cut out a hole from the screen in her window. Dummy. Yes. So my dad, of course, like, knows exactly, the minute he sees it, he knows exactly what she was doing and, like, what was going on. And so... So one day, so when Bridget comes home, he's like, what is up with your room? Or, like, what's wrong with your window? And then she, like, walks right to that window, like, beelines. He goes, oh, I don't know what happened to that screen. And he goes, how'd you know which window to walk to automatically? Like, how'd you know right away?
Seems like he's a lawyer, and he's super, yes. He was lawyered in that story.
Yeah. Like, it was definitely, like, he set her up, and he kind of, like, left it very, like, open. It was like, how would you know that if you didn't already know it was there?
I can't wait to do that to my kids. I'm so excited.
Yeah, she ran past him and, like, ran to the bathroom and locked the door as if that was going to do anything. Like, suddenly not going to be in any more trouble. That was
the wrath of Mike O'Brien.
Yeah. And that was, like, I remember when it happened and I was a kid because I was 8 years younger than her. I was like, so Bridget could have actually been in high school. And I was like, I don't get it. Like, why'd she cut the screen? I was like, why'd she cut the screen? like, don't worry about it. Don't worry. I'm like, but why would she do it? Like, why would she do it? Oh, my God.
So Regina is, like, outraged that she wasn't invited to this party. She goes, I, like, invented her. You know what I mean?
She kind of did.
We see Gretchen drunkenly confronting Jason, which is so relatable. Kevin tells Katie that he doesn't want to hurt her feelings, but he only dates women of color.
I love that.
And can I tell you guys, so in my early 20s, I briefly dated an Indian guy named Kevin. And I think of the reason that it never got, like, serious was because I think I was never going to meet his parents. Like, they would not
have
met the white Jewish girl. But our roommate at the time, Josh, always used to be like, that kid's name is not Kevin. Like, that's not his real name. And I was always like, what do you mean? Like, why? But now that Kevin is, like, Kevin in the movie, like, I wonder if Josh was right. Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Wait, I feel like I've heard that being a thing.
Really?
I
that, like, blew it. When Josh would, like, say it, I was always like, you're so racist. Like, what are you? It's like, and he was always like, I promise you that's not his real name.
Oh, wait. Oh, no, that part. I feel like I've only ever heard that being the case with Korean people. Like, I guess, like, other types of Asian people. Not that Indian's not Asian. I'm sounding very ignorant right now. But, like, I mean, no. I mean, I also knew a lot of Indian kids. It depends on whether they're Hindu or they're Christian, because I knew, because we have, like, two Catholic churches in our town, so it's, like, a pretty sizable Catholic population. And I went to CCD with a lot of Indian kids who had very Christian, like, aggressively. Actually, so do you guys watch South Park at all?
Mm-hmm.
So I literally went to school with a kid named Terrence Phillip.
Shut up. That's awesome.
And of course, because we were all, like, kids at the time where that came out, it was like, this poor kid was like,
oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah,
that's for that kid. So they're at the party, and Aaron goes into Katie's bedroom, and he sees, like, all the pictures of her in Africa and stuff. And I feel like this scene is, like, the antithesis of what we see happen to Josie and Never Been Kissed.
I was literally just thinking that.
The same thing.
Except in Never Been Kissed, Guy is like, he doesn't realize that it's her, and he's like, what's the brother's name?
Pedophile ass.
Rob. David Arquette.
Yeah, and he goes, like, Rob's sister is a dork. And we're like, what a jerk. But, like, Aaron's looking around and, like, smiling. Like, he's like,
aw, she's a dork.
Yeah. You know, he still, like, likes her, and it's nice. P.S., this moment is maybe my favorite song in the musical. They have, like, a little duet called, oh, God, things I can, like, see the whole thing. More is always better. It's
okay,
a really good,
okay,
really good. Highly recommend. But so she starts, like, spilling everything to him, and she's explaining how, like, she pretended to, like, be bad at math, and I'm not really bad at math. Actually, you're bad at math. And anyway, now I'm failing. Isn't that funny? And she like closes her eyes and leans in for a kiss. And it's like so cringy. Because Aaron just like pushes her away and is like, wait, what do you mean you're failing? That's dumb.
Because he's the only one in this movie with any sense.
Right.
And then she's like drunkenly trying to explain it to him. And she's like, shut up. And he's like, what? He's like, you just told me to shut up. And calls her a clone of Regina.
Side note, I've had that shut up moment before where I'm not going to go into what led up to this moment, but just know Four Loko was involved. But I didn't believe something this guy was saying, but I was so tired of him. Once he proved me wrong, that he kept like giving me shit about it. So I slapped him like playfully across the face.
Ooh, yeah.
This is the most tame of my Four Loko stories.
Okay.
But literally, like, I just was so tired of him saying it that I was like, I just slapped him across the face because I wanted him to stop talking.
Regina walks in and her word vomit turns into actual vomit.
Actual vomit. And she
says, what would a teen party scene be without throwing up on a person you like?
We got to share the consequences of underage drinking.
But I just.
But that's my consequences of adult drinking too.
I kind of started saying this before we were recording. I've kind of, not to spoil the end of this whole summation of this conversation, but like part of what made me realize I don't really like Mean Girls as much anymore. And that I liked Booksmart more than I thought was like watching Mean Girls and being like, oh my God, things have gotten so much better. Like teenagers have it so much better. Like this is going to be such a relic of its time. I used to be so excited at the thought of showing this to my kids one day. And I'm like, wow. So I'm just going to show my kids how bigoted we all were.
Well, think about 16 Candles.
Like exactly. Same.
It is a great example of the same thing. It's a relic of its time with like the exchange student, the whole, like that is crazy now. Like that would never happen.
Yes. But a wild thing about Booksmart is like, because I'm sure obviously, especially like because it's, you know, last day of high school party, two nerdy seniors want to like make up for lost time, and the fact that Beanie Feldstein is literally Jonah Hill's little sister, so like obviously a lot of reasons to go into it thinking, oh, this is super bad but with girls, but they literally have that same kind of scene where like they're about to start hooking up and you throw up on the person that you like.
Oh, that sucks.
So I'm like, wow, is this really becoming like a stereotype like that? Like that's what you have to do.
Relatable, I guess.
I believe it happens.
I mean, it's never happened to me, thank God, but knock on wood.
So Aaron starts running out, like leaves the party in disgust, and Katie like chases after him, and Janice and Damien drive up and she's like, you dirty little liar. Janice, Damien, I can't stop the car. I have a curfew. You
cannot stop the car.
Curfew is 1 a.m. It's now 1:10.
In the musical, it's a Rascal scooter.
They're all, oh my God, I love that.
And Janice calls her out and tells her that she's not pretending to be plastic anymore. She's plastic. And Katie says, it's not my fault that you're like in love with me or something.
Ooh, and that sets Janice.
And that sets her off. And she says, you think everybody's in love with you when actually everybody hates you. Mm-hmm. And then she says the title of the movie. She tells her she's a mean girl.
You're a mean girl.
I want my picture back.
Although I have to say, improvised. It would have been, oh, that's so funny, that it would have been more impactful for her to straight out say, like, you know, that's a sensitive subject. Like, if you really wanted to get through to her, considering they've built the most real friendship of anybody.
Well, I don't know, though, because so then, like, right after this, Janice throws her the picture she had in the art show. And it's this, like, drawing of the three of them, which is, like, fine. But I feel like, how good of friends could they really be? Because first of all, they can't spend that much time together because Katie is almost always with the plastics. And also, like, Janice is using her.
Yes.
Yeah.
For her, like, Janice, petty revenge.
Yeah, for her own thing. Well, they spend time in homeroom together. Imagine it's like a day on, day off sort of thing where, like in the beginning, they're like, yeah, like every other day. Because she had to report back to them and tell them all about like what they were saying and doing. Or they're probably talking at late at night when she got back from the plastic. She was probably right back on the phone with Janice and Damien on the three-way call, like talking about it every night.
Shane sees Regina eating a Caltine bar and he's like, oh yeah, coach has us eat those when we need to gain weight. And Regina loses her shit.
I love this.
This is another incredible musical moment. She sings a song that sounds exactly like a Bond villain song. It's called Watch the World Burn. It's incredible.
Amazing.
And again, her plan, what she does with the burn book is brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I love how she runs home the whole way screaming at the top of her lungs.
We love that
no part. Breath. No breathtaking.
So what she does is that she puts her own picture in the burn book and she writes all of this horrible stuff about herself.
Well, you buried the lead because like you think this whole, they set it up in the movie for anybody that hasn't seen it, which again, you're an idiot, but like they bury the lead so much where they're like,
right,
you know, she's writing all this mean stuff and you assume that she's just
this gonna girl is the nastiest, fugliest slut skank I've ever seen.
Remember fugly?
Oh yeah, that's a very 90s word.
Yes.
Fugly.
So the way they set it up in the movie is so much like you think she's gonna put Katie's picture in and be done with it,
right?
But she does the most evil genius shit of all time. She's like 5 steps ahead of all of us and puts her own face in and fucking narcs on all of those girls like, oh my god, I just found this.
Yeah. So they bring all the girls in to interview them. She says there are only 3 girls in the whole school.
Wait. I have to talk about Regina's scene in, like, when she's crying to all about it.
Oh, I know what you're going
to
say.
And he's like trying to read something and she's like from her crying where she's like boo-hooing and she goes, fat whore. That's what she says, right?
Yes, fat whore.
I love that. Oh my god.
While they're in the principal's office, Regina has made photocopies of the entire book and is like posting them on the lockers, sliding them under the doors of the classroom.
I love the idea that Regina's mom like took her to Staples to like get all those copies made.
Yes. Oh yeah, Regina's mom was totally supportive of this whole thing. So and that's another homage to Jawbreaker when Courtney does the yearbook photo of who is Violet and throws that all over the place.
Well, like thematically, it's really similar. Like this popular girl taking this like dork and like molding her in her own image and then creating this like monster.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I had more of a personal reference for the thought of the mom doing all of that because I knew. So I at a job I used to work at, there was a couple that kind of sprung up, but the guy was like on again, off again with like a long-term girlfriend. Like when we had met him, I mean, like he said like, oh, well, if you ask her, she'll say, we'll have been together, blah, blah, blah. So this couple sprung up in our office and they like went out on a date one time and the girlfriend sat in the parking lot and watched them, but her mom, because she had been in a car accident like a week or two prior, she didn't have a car, so her mom drove her and sat in the damn car with her, and then the girl storms in and walks up to the girl we worked with and was like, hi, I'm so and so, and then pulls him into the corner and like bitches him out.
I saw that happen once when I used to waitress at an Outback. I saw someone get caught cheating. Wife stormed in. It was rough.
I can beat that. I worked with a couple. So it was a husband and wife. I can't beat it that much. But a husband and wife worked in my office and the husband started having an affair with another person in the office. And the wife found out because she got an STD. And so she went up to the girl, so like she figured out who it was. She went up to the girl in the office. I was so mad to not be there that day and was basically confronted her and was like, oh, and you should get yourself checked. Or like, unless you gave him an STD, but basically was like, you should get himself checked because he's dirty.
Ooh, bitch.
Nice. After that, they all worked from home for about a year.
Yeah, nobody got fired.
I guess because it's all personal. You know what I mean? And like,
don't bring that shit into the workplace. Yeah.
And they would have sex in the office and we would have sex in the gym. We had a gym in the office, but the gym was disgusting. Nobody ever cleaned it. Like, people would use it, but no one ever cleaned it. Like, it was disgusting and old in there. And that's where they would, like, have sex. And they both have kids. So the way they would talk about their hookups outside of work is to be like, oh, do you want to have a play date? Do you want to do a play date?
God, like, in little children.
And I was, like, thinking, I remember thinking at the time, like, that's weird that's, like, those two planning a play date with their kids. Like, I was, like, totally clueless, like, at first. That's
literally, like, the movie/book Little Children.
Oh, it is kind of like that.
Remember, the kids would go down and nap, and the parents would be all fucking.
And what's fucked up is that she, I guess, what I had heard is that she kind of, like, led him to believe that she would leave her husband for him. And so he, like, left his wife, and then she didn't leave her husband because her husband had money, and she was not leaving her house to go live in an apartment and then like be a step parent to like 3 other boys when she had 2 kids herself because they'd have 5 kids between them. Like, she was not leaving her Fendi purses and like all that stuff behind.
That's what you get
Retroactive hot girl summer points.
Yeah. And then the wife who got cheated on, she got like, I mean, she was always pretty and like always had a good body, but then she's like started working out and had this like a banging body and
revenge
like
bod.
Oh yeah. And all these guys, like she totally was like going on dates. I was like, good for you. And like, I know this stuff is real because she was the one who told me her and I, that's why I would like say, this is not gossip. This is straight from, she told me how she went up and confronted that girl. I said, I was like, good for you. I was like, good for you.
Imagine being that dumb.
Yeah.
Speaking of horrific cheating scenarios, well, I guess we don't know if it's cheating, but it's still certainly an illicit affair.
So
that comes out, right? Segue back into
the coach.
So Regina's like plastering the pages of the burn book all over. Meanwhile, they're interviewing the girls, and poor Gretchen is like so earnest. She's like, maybe we're not in the book because everyone likes us. I don't like for being well liked.
Something I would say if I was in that situation.
Maybe my dad, the inventor of the toaster strudel, would have some things to say about this.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love Regina surveying her carnage as everyone's like attacking each other for the things that they hear. And the kid calling his mom for help.
We see the Asian girls fighting over Coach Carr, right? That one boy like calls his mom for help. Miss Norberry sees the page about herself, and I can't believe she doesn't quit on the spot. And Karen, we said this when Karen goes, whoever wrote it probably didn't think anyone would ever see it.
What an idiot.
And then one of the teachers bursts into the principal's office. The girls have gone wild. The girls have gone wild.
And the principal immediately grabs his baseball bat.
Goes, right. Logical progression.
I did not leave the South Side for this. And he turns on the sprinkler.
All the girls into the gym. This was the other moment in the musical where, like, when you saw Damien sneak in that hoodie, everyone was like,
oh, yes. I bet that was a good
for
one.
For USA Today's number one ranked best line of the entire film.
Mm-hmm. It was coming. You knew. We were so excited. I laughed really hard when the principal goes, I ought to cancel your spring fling. No, I'm not going to do that because we've already paid for the DJ. And I feel like that is my life as a mom.
Yeah.
Like, I will things, but being like, I'm not really going to do that because I've paid for it.
Right.
I will keep you here all night.
I have to enforce
that. I was going to say that next. I will keep you here all night. We can only keep them until 4. I will keep
you here till 4.
Which then made me think about that scene from Matilda where she's getting off the bus at like 7-8 o'clock at night for having to stay all night.
Oh, yeah.
Like writing lines or whatever it is they had to do.
Air out all their stuff. And one of the like wannabe girls says that like someone started a rumor that she's not a virgin because she uses super tampons, but it's not my fault that I have a heavy flow and a wide set vagina.
Oh my God.
And that's when the principal is like, I can't do this. Because men like really can't deal with the word vagina.
No.
Or someone's period.
Yeah.
Right, period talk and
I think that was even worse. Yeah.
He asks Miss Norberry, you know, to talk to them about like their self-esteem. And Miss Norberry goes, it's not a self-esteem problem. I think they're all pretty pleased with themselves. And I was just thinking, like, I really hope Miss Norberry gets to leave and start a new career. Because I really relate to how much she seems to hate her job.
I am just more curious. I would love to hear your opinion as a teacher, like how she made up this whole curriculum on the spot of like how to diffuse
like
all of
90% of teaching is just figuring out like on the spot what you're going to do to like shut these kids up and like keep them busy.
Also, I would like to know too, hypothetically, like let's say you walk into like a huge fight scenario like that. What is your call to action to stop it? Because, I mean, like, what is your, like, action to stop it?
I would dip into my classroom and call security. That's what I always did.
Because I was going to say, like, because turning on the water, again, felt super male-gazy. Like, oh, yeah, let's get a bunch of these teenage girls fucking wet. What is wrong? Yeah.
And now they're all fighting in their wet t-shirts.
Gross.
No, realistically, when I was a student teacher, my mentoring teacher told me that I should, and this was, like, a school that had a lot of fights. She told me that I should keep a whistle on me. And she was like, if you ever see kids fighting, you step back and you start blowing the whistle because it'll like attract like someone to come and help you. It'll keep the other kids like away. It'll like startle them and distract them. But she was like, exactly. You don't get involved. You don't try to break them up.
Absolutely.
More than once at the last school I was at, I had kids fight right outside of my classroom and I would literally like, go in my room, close the door and call security. Like it's above my pay grade.
Yes.
Right.
We see every group kind of has like their own drama. They kind of like go through it.
Yeah, every clique has its own problems.
And Miss Norberry asks Katie if she has anything she wants to apologize for, and she says no.
Knife in the heart.
Really sad.
So then they do the trust fall thing where they all get up and like say something and then they fall.
Sorry, really quick. So I wrote down this line because I was like kind of conflicted about how to feel about it, where Miss Norberry says like, you can't call each other sluts and whores. That just makes it okay for guys to call you sluts and whores. Mm-hmm. And I'm like really conflicted about that because it's like, is that really what it's doing? But also it kind of is. Like, I don't know.
Or you're taking ownership of the word too. Is that what you're saying too? I mean, it's like,
yeah.
Like,
it's never necessarily as serious.
Yeah. Cause if slut shaming is a thing, that means like considered, like, actually, do you ever watch Slut Ever? On Vice?
No,
oh, it's so good. And so that's what, like, the girl, she's like, well, I consider myself, she was like, and I consider it a positive thing, like, my sexuality is slut. Like, I like men, I like women, I like trying different things, like, I like doing different things, like, but I don't consider it a bad thing. I'm just openly, I'm, like, very open sexually, I'm adventurous sexually. She's like, and I just identify that as slut. And so she's very big into, like, I think she even created, like, the Slut Ever, you know, brand and stuff like that. So she's very into like taking that word back and being very owning your sex and being sex positive. It's a really cool documentary series.
I actually forgot that there's a scene like this in, well, a scene like this discussion really in Booksmart as well, where there's like a girl that has been, she's popular, but been maligned for being a slut, like even has a nickname that's just AAA because she gave roadside assistance to a group of guys once or something like that. And she like has this whole discussion with like one of the characters about like, you know, trying to take ownership of her sexuality. And if she was a dude, it would have been different. And just like all of this same, watch Booksmart. It's really good.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
No, I heard great things.
It is basically Superbad, but with girls, but it's still enjoyable.
So they do the trust fall. Karen is like the only one who tries to catch Gretchen. She falls.
They have an awkward ableist scene again where the wheelchair girl, everybody backs out of the way because they don't want to catch a wheelchair because that's hilarious, right?
Wait, I thought they did catch her.
Wait, they do catch her? Either way, the fact that there's, a wheelchair girl, like,
yeah, right.
The girl in the wheelchair is doing
trying to do the fall, like, doing the trust fall. Yeah.
Isn't that hilarious?
So we get the girl who says, like, you know, I wish it could just be in middle school, like middle school when we were all friends.
Side note, was your middle school experience miserable too? Mine was fucking awful.
I
hated
it. Yeah, I didn't like it.
All friends in middle school.
I actually did better in high school than middle school, I thought. Like, I actually liked high school better.
Yeah. Me too. And that's still saying a lot, but for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
know, it's a little bit better.
Make a cake full of rainbows and butterflies and we could all eat it and be happy. And that's when Damien goes, she doesn't even go here. Number and again, the audience in the musical exploded when he said it.
Because
that would be a fun Halloween costume too. Like the blue hoodie with the sunglasses. That's so easy.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say in this age of true crime podcast popularity that everybody would, half the people would think you're Damien and half the people would think you're the
Unabomber. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Very true.
So Janice gets up there and she totally blows up Katie's spot. She tells everyone like everything they did, including how they made Regina gain weight.
But I love the way she does this though, because she's like, oh, I'm sorry for, and is like simultaneously blowing up her entire
spot. Yeah. Yes. I guess it's because I have a big lesbian crush on you.
And everyone like cheers and catches her.
Which actually, shout out to her Middle Eastern heritage with the, whatever that yelling.
Yeah. And they all chant her name too, which is such like a great thing for Janice. So, which means like probably next year at school, she was like, everyone liked Janice. Was like, yeah, girl, you go.
Well, actually, we all learned next year at school, cliques were abolished.
Oh, that's right.
They don't exist anymore.
That's right. Even more reason everyone likes Janice.
Regina stalks out of the school. She's like yelling at Katie. She's saying like, you know, everyone just says that you're like a less hot version of me, blah, blah, blah. And as she is yelling all these things at Katie, she gets hit by a bus. Katie goes, and that's how Regina George died.
The first time you see this movie, you're like,
oh my God, right.
I know. Some people said that they saw her head spin around.
Yeah.
That was just a rumor. Some people said that they saw me push her. That was a worse rumor.
So if this was a Lifetime movie starring Kelly Martin, she would have pushed her.
100%. Yes.
Absolutely.
So she's like now in trouble at home. This is like everything has kind of bubbled over. She confesses to her parents that she's failing math and they ground her.
Which, first I want to bring up the fact that the underbelly vase,
the fertility vase of the underbelly.
Right, like, again, like a cultural relic used as a punchline. Sure, go right ahead. But like her dad doesn't know how to, like, and depending on whether we decide to cut the earlier part out. But like, I don't understand how her dad, assumingly as a North American raised person, does not understand what punishments are.
Like, what grounded is. Yeah.
Right. This is second generation.
What grounded is. Yeah.
Second generation, like free range parenting type bullshit. Like, I don't understand how he doesn't understand how punishments work. Also, like, weren't you exposed to media where like,
exactly.
Right.
Punished? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Katie is back to eating lunch in the bathroom stall. The police are in their class and they're interrogating everyone because now there's this rumor that Miss Norberry is trying to sell drugs to students. And so Katie confesses that she's the one who wrote it in the book and that it's not true. And Erin is like stunned.
Yeah. She's trying this new thing where she does not talk about behind people behind their backs. Mm.
She says that she's trying to suck all of the poison out of her life. And I was telling Sonia earlier when your internet was out that another like great girl power part of the musical is like around this time, Katie goes to like suck the poison out of her life and she goes to apologize to Regina and Regina tells her to stop apologizing because it wasn't her fault and she needs to stop apologizing for things that aren't her fault.
Oh, I like that.
Which I really enjoyed. She gets a good grade on her math quiz and Erin's like, welcome back, nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And she also apologizes to Miss Norberry, who tells her that she is going to do the mathletes as punishment.
Sure.
Not too bad of a punishment.
No.
Pretty good considering you almost got her life ruined.
Yeah. Exactly. She could have kicked out of school or something.
She could have like lost her teaching license, gone to jail. Like it would have bumped up her entire life.
Yeah, right. Serious accusation. So we see everyone getting ready for spring fling. I love the posters and we see Damien in his room getting ready and he has like Celine Dion posters and like a Singing in the Rain poster.
It's so great.
So and I love
stereotypical.
It. We see Katie on her way to the math competition. At Spring Fling, we see people voting for Spring Queen Queen. One kid says, I'm going to vote for Regina George because she got hit by that bus. And the other kid says, I'm going to vote for Katie Herring because she pushed her.
Yeah, I love it.
Katie's dad realizes that Katie is not allowed to go out when she's grounded.
Yes, finally, I guess.
So they show up at the dance looking for her.
Wait, I don't understand too. Like, wouldn't they have allowed her to at least go to a mathlete function?
You would.
Like, I understand not letting her go to the dance, but like, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like you said, it's good on her. It would be good on her college application.
Yeah, and she didn't want to do it. Like, it's not for fun.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a tie at the math competition. They each have to pick like a player to go, whatever, a mathlete.
Wait, can we talk about how one of the Asian kids on the team, his name written out on the plaque in front of him is T-Pack. So basically all Asian people in this movie
have the last name Pack. It's probably like his cousin. Not even.
Right, exactly. Obviously.
Obviously, they're all related. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Couldn't even bother trying to come up with another Asian name.
That's crazy.
So both teams pick the girl, and Katie is standing
we'll
there
take the girl.
About how the girl on the other team has like cheap lip gloss on her teeth and yada yada. And this is where Katie has like her big epiphany. You don't build yourself up by tearing someone else down. And she says, all you can do in life is try to solve the problem in front of you. And so she's looking at the problem. She remembers the day that they learned about this in math class, but Erin had just gotten his hair cut and he was so cute that day. But wait, what was going on behind Erin's head? And she realizes the answer. The limit does not exist. They win the competition and they get their varsity mathlete jackets.
Another great line to use all the time when anytime you're saying like, how much is too much of something? And it's like,
yes.
The limit does not exist.
Yes.
Oh, I had a question I wanted to ask you guys. Who would you have voted for Spring Fling? It was Regina, Katie, Gretchen, and Janice. I said I'd probably vote for Janice because I bet I'd be friends with Damien. So I'd be like, maybe I would be friends with Janice, but I would know her through.
Maybe Gretchen. I would like want to see Gretchen like win one over Regina.
I feel like I was so angry at all the popular girls. I would have totally voted for Janice.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. They're all going to the dance. They say how they're going to look so great rolling into Spring Fling in their mathletes jackets. Katie says she can't go because she's grounded. And Miss Norberry goes, you're already out.
Terrible advice.
Terrible advice. So she goes to Spring Fling. Of course, Shane Omen is the Spring Fling king. And it turns out that Caddy is the queen.
She wins two gift certificates to Walker Brothers Pancake House.
Yes, and a crown. And then she decides she needs to make a speech, which, as the principal tells her, is like not really required of her. Mm-hmm. So she like compliments like the less popular girls on like their hair and their dresses.
Like some kind of act of charity to prove how changed she is.
Yes, that's kind of a vibe I got from it as well. You articulated that perfectly. And then she breaks the crown and she decides that they can share it. And she like tosses the piece to everyone.
I love how Damien gets horrified when she breaks the crown. He reaches out for it. Like, oh no.
So she and Damien, she makes up with Damien and Janice. She and Aaron dance and they make up and they kiss.
I don't get why Aaron likes her. She has done the bare minimum in terms of changing. Yeah. She's just like acknowledged that she's a garbage person. That's like not making any
difference. He dated Regina for over a year. He's not like the best judge of character.
Good point. Well,
he has like a perfectly good reason. Well, I guess his reason still applies. There's good and bad to everybody. But it's like, right. All she needed to do was be like, my bad, you guys. I know I literally almost derailed several people's lives and like made everybody feel like garbage. Like, whoops.
My bad. And you know, we love a B-roll romance on this podcast. We see Kevin and Janice get together at the dance.
Of course.
Because she's Lebanese and he's into that.
Yes. He counts that.
And he can work with that, he says.
Oh, the Janice and Damien are also dancing together. And there's this like big romantic moment where they like get together and then like they kiss and then they're disgusted. Yeah. And that's when Kevin slides in.
In their matching outfits. We forgot to bring that up.
Oh, yeah. They're matching tuxedos. It's nice. Powder blue, right?
I think something like that. Something it's just, like horrendous, even for these purposes.
So then we get kind of like an update on like what becomes of all of them for senior year.
Where are they now?
Learns to channel all of her rage into sports.
That was probably really healthy for her, actually. I think that's like was a great idea.
I actually had a coworker at that same job where the messy like fight hookup situation happened, and I used to call her actually to her face, and like I kind of it was one of those things where like she thought that I meant it as a compliment, but I actually meant it as like a sly diss that like because she told me that I think she played field hockey in high school and but was also a bully like at work, and I was like, oh my god, you're just like Regina George. Like, oh my god, thanks. And I'm like, okay,
sure. Backhanded compliment. Yeah.
So, sorry, I was just looking.
Karen does the weather.
Yeah, Karen gets into, like, AV.
What is it, 30% chance it's already raining? And like, for those who can't see me, obviously, I am literally squeezing my boobs. As I for a fact.
I'm sure all the listeners are doing it along with you.
Yes, of course.
Gretchen is still a follower. She straightens her hair and gets in with the hot Asian clique.
She's now a cultural appropriator, we assume.
Right, because she, like, learned another language.
Because we have not become aware of the fact that she has is of Asian descent, so
yeah.
Because Karen is of the original Broadway cast, Karen is of Asian, the actress who plays Karen is of Asian.
Gretchen, it's Gretchen actually.
Is it? Oh, it is Gretchen. Okay, so that makes more sense. All right, so yeah, so I guess that's probably a logical transition in the movie, but I mean in the musical, but in the movie she becomes a cool Asian despite not.
Does her dad still invent toaster strudel in the musical?
I think they say that, yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if they would have made like a more timely reference, but it worked.
I think the happiest is Katie can finally hang out with her real friends out in the open again.
Yeah.
Because she never really got to do that.
They're all kind of like, okay, like Karen is like braiding the girl in the wheelchair's hair, but then she kind of like waves to Regina and they like have a little moment. Like everyone's cool.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly how it works in high school, right? Everybody gets into a big fight with each other and then, like, just cliques become a thing of the past.
And then we're
right. Everyone is all sunshine and rainbows.
And then in the very last moment, we see the Junior Plastics, who I think there's a sequel about them, but I will never see it.
Yeah, no. Mean Girls 2 is something I actively avoid.
Yeah.
And Katie's final lines are really great. Calling someone else fat won't make you any skinnier. Calling someone stupid doesn't make you any smarter. And ruining Regina George's life didn't make me any happier. Mm-hmm. All you can do in life is try to solve the problems in front of you. Which I guess you said earlier. I just wrote that at the end. But worth saying again.
Yes, yes, it is. It's like, it's the moral of the story.
Right.
And that's Mean Girls.
That's Mean Girls.
Oh my God. This is going to become our longest episode.
This is about three and a half hours.
3 hours. Yeah.
But it's
That's what Lizzie McGuire was almost 3 hours, too.
It's 20 to 12.
Oh, I know. Oh, I'm aware of the time.
This is way more. This is like we said, the most significant movie of the 2000s. Like, it's worth.
Yeah, it needs its like fair attention.
Yeah. Oh, so Sonia, where can we follow you on the social media?
So I am at Sonia Marie Says on Twitter. If you want to follow my podcast, Rewind the Love, again, if you want to continue living in the 2000s, you can watch Flavor of Love and all those shows along with us. And you can find us at Rewind Love Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
And Sonia gives very good tweet too. I like your Twitter.
Yeah, you are really good on Twitter.
Yes.
The perks of being like fun employed.
There you go. You're making the most out of it.
Yes, exactly.
You can find us on Instagram at Totally Paused Pod and on Twitter at Totally Pause Pod. You can find me on all social media channels at Just Paused Pod.
And you can follow me, Siobhan, on all social media at Sio Monroe, SioMonroe.
Mm-hmm. And as we say, we are
outie.
Now that's a party. A revenge party. A party that-